At your job, do you ever have to deal with a nose roller? How about a snub pulley? Well, if you're installing a new conveyor belt system, dealing with the different components can sound like you're speaking a foreign language. Luckily, you've got a team ready to help. Grainger's technical product specialists are fluent in maintenance, repair, and operations. So whenever you want to talk shop, just reach out. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome, everyone, to Couch Potato Diary, kicking an old school with a audio-only episode. My name is Peter Klein. Thank you guys very much for tuning in today. As always, you can follow me on social media, Twitter, Instagram, and TikTok. I'm at Primetime Klein, twitch.tv/PrimetimePK, and you can email the show, couchpotatodiary@yahoo.com. So, audio-only for the rest of the week. It has been a bit of a trying time around here, putting a family cat down. Officially my sister-in-law's cat, but lived with that sweet little kitty for a few years and was in my life for 10 years. So was a trying time, and so you guys don't need to see what it looks like after I've been crying for a few days. So going to be audio only for the rest of the week. And today it is going to be continuing our MLB preview episodes. This one is going to be on difference makers around Major League Baseball. We're also going to look at over and undervalued teams and players. Also going to continue and I guess wrap up our preview episodes looking at the National League win totals, American League win totals, and our playoff picks. So today is probably going to be a three-parter. And again, all of it audio only. Admittedly, had something off the top about role players versus star players. Conversation coming from a debate I saw last week about Hyman's contract compared to Panarin's contract. But I feel like the Hyman conversation has taken a mighty turn, and we don't need to talk about it anymore. Plus, I already did a little bit of this on Sportsnet 960 The Fan this week. So today's focus is all about Major League Baseball.
Hi, I'm Kim Carson.
And I'm Peter Klein.
And this is the trailer for We Had No Idea,
a podcast about general history stuff that you might have forgotten about from history class.
Or you know what? Just never learned. And we didn't either, but you shouldn't feel embarrassed about that. We sure don't.
And we proved that weekly.
Yeah, in literally every episode. So download, subscribe, like, do all the stuff you do for podcasts and give us a listen.
Let's start, or continue, I suppose, our MLB previews looking at difference makers across Major League Baseball. We'll start with the Baltimore Orioles. They have four. Adalie Rushman is absolutely 100% a difference maker. He has been a game changer. He has been a culture setter. He has been everything that he was advertised to be as the catcher of the Baltimore Orioles. Gunnar Henderson, I think, also falls into this category as someone who absolutely makes a difference and took Baltimore from good to great a season ago. And a guy who could take them from great to potentially world champion, we'll find out later in our previews, Corbin Burnes. I have him as a difference maker as well. They also have a difference maker in their bullpen, but not this year. I do think that Felix Bautista is a difference maker in that bullpen, and there aren't many guys who are, but you see how lacking the depth is in the bullpen for Baltimore once he goes down with an injury. It just, it really does change the entire dynamic of that bullpen. So I do think he is a difference maker. For the Boston Red Sox, they have just one. It's obvious. It's Rafael Devers. I think he is one of the game's better players over at third base. The Chicago White Sox have one. It's Luis Robert or Robert or whatever. This guy is one of the more underrated players in the league. And I think he could be available at the trade deadline this year, because I think it's going to be an atrocious season for the White Sox, and they are just going to need to start over. By the way, under-discussed bag fumbling by the Chicago White Sox, they had Robert, Anderson, Abreu, a few other players. Eloy Jimenez was pretty solid in his time. Still, whatever. But they had a really exciting team, And then they brought in Tony La Russa to manage it. And I think legitimately set this franchise back like 10 years with that one decision. The Cleveland Guardians have two. It's still Jose Ramirez. We'll get to him a little bit later on in the show as well. But still, Jose Ramirez is a difference maker on this offense in Cleveland. And Emmanuel Clase, the closer for Cleveland, I think he is one of the more dominant relievers in Major League Baseball. And when you have that guy in the back end of your bullpen, it makes a difference. The Detroit Tigers have none. I think they have two guys who are right there in Tarek Skubal and Spencer Torkelson, but they haven't made enough of a difference yet for me to really lock them in as true difference makers for the Detroit Tigers. The Astros have a bunch. Yordan Alvarez, just one of the top premier power hitters in the sport. Kyle Tucker, when you lose a guy who is MVP caliber in free agency in George Springer, and you replace him and it's totally fine, that's pretty good. And Kyle Tucker, I think, is that. I still think Alex Bregman is a difference maker toward the middle part of the order for the Houston Astros. Framber Valdez is absolutely a difference maker at the top of this rotation. And then in the bullpen, Josh Hader, I think, deserves to be on this list, and so he is. The Kansas City Royals have just one. It's obvious. It's Bobby Witt Jr. The speed that he can play the game at, he does have some pop in that bat that I think we'll see a little bit more of this season. I think that is a, like, he is exactly what this list is about. The Angels are down to one. Mike Trout. Need we say more? Minnesota, they're interesting. They obviously have the pitchers in Jorge Lopez and Joe Ryan. Like, those guys, you have those guys, you have a chance to win the ballgame every time they take the mound. I still, when healthy, Byron Buxton, I think, still can be a game changer in this league. And Carlos Correa, we saw it against the Blue Jays in the playoffs last year, where he makes a really smart defensive play to get Bo Bichette out at home plate. His bat still plays, not as much as it used to, but still does. So I think he still deserves to be on this list. The Yankees, I have them down as having three. They have some guys who could be right there, right? Like, Volpe could be right there. If Rizzo is healthy, he is absolutely deserving of being on this list. And if Stanton can stay healthy, he is deserving of being on this list. But I think the three, and it's the obvious three, it's Soto, it's Judge, and it's Gerrit Cole. The Oakland A's, nobody. And I don't even think they have an honorable mention on this team right now. Seattle has a few. J.P. Crawford at the top of this order. I think, again, another guy who took this team from good to great. Julio Rodriguez, cornerstone franchise player in Major League Baseball. You have Castillo coming out of the bullpen. In the starting rotation. Luis Castillo, he has an opportunity, I think, to push for a Cy Young this year. That's how good I think he is. And George Kirby as well. That 1-2 punch out there in Seattle is just absolutely lethal. The Tampa Bay Rays have three. Yandy Diaz and Randy Arozarena in their lineup. Arozarena, obviously, there have been some accusations over the years, but as a baseball player, he has a flair for the moment and can come up with big plays offensively and defensively. Yandy Diaz, it just feels like he's impossible to get out. And then in the rotation, Zach Eflin is that guy. The Texas Rangers, I think they have three. Marcus Semien, he is someone who just changes the culture of a team, and what was a big part of turning the Texas Rangers into a winning organization, just does everything right. Corey Seager, when healthy, I think this is one of the best players in baseball, and we saw that in the postseason last year. And Adelis Garcia, with one swing of the bat, can be a difference maker. So a couple of those are maybe vibes based, but these are also very talented baseball players and very deserving of being on this list. For the Toronto Blue Jays, I think they have three. Bo Bichette, with how consistent he is at the plate, is a difference maker. Vlad Guerrero Jr., I'll be honest, another year like last year, and I don't think he ends up on this list. But for what Vlad can be, Vlad is a difference maker in this league. And Kevin Gausman finished second in American League Cy Young voting. He's an ace. And again, one of those guys, every time he gets the ball, you feel like you have a very good chance of winning that baseball game. The Arizona Diamondbacks, they have four with Corbin Carroll, and Ketel Marte in their lineup. Carroll, just his presence alone changes the entire dynamic of a team. And we saw that with them last year. And Marte, who just didn't get out in the playoffs ever, it felt like. I still think that his well-roundedness puts him on this list. And then in the starting rotation, it is Gallen and Kelly. Like, two guys who I think might be two, even though they pitched in the World Series last year, two of the most underrated pitchers in the sport today. The Braves, it's basically the whole team. It's Acuna, Albies, Riley, and Olson in the lineup. Like, I don't like going one through whatever. You know how good those guys are. And obviously, it's probably undercutting guys like Harris and maybe even Murphy in this lineup. And then in the pitching staff, it's Strider, who might be the best pitcher in baseball. And I still think Max Fried deserves to be on this list. The Cubs actually have three. They have Ian Happ. I do think that when Happ is at his best, it's been a little inconsistent. Him and Bellinger, who's also on this list, it's been a little inconsistent, but at the peak of their powers, these guys make a difference to the Cubs. And Steele, probably the most underrated pitcher in baseball. And it's wild that the Cubs have the most underrated player in baseball, but because they haven't really been at the top for the last little bit, but I think this year, and you'll hear that in the NL preview a little bit later, I think this year you will absolutely get a taste of what this guy can really, really do. In Cincinnati, it's only one. It's De La Cruz. They probably have a couple of more coming. And honestly, this one might be even more vibes-based than some of the other ones. But De La Cruz, I think, deserves to be on this list. Colorado has nobody. And like I said, probably not even an honorable mention. They have the kid who they signed the contract the other day. He absolutely could make his way on this list one day. But I think Colorado needs a couple of these guys before it really, really starts to take off for this team. So we will see what they are able to do over the next little while, but it's tough going out in Colorado right now. The Dodgers have a ton. Betts, Otani, do not put those in that order for any particular reason. Freddie Freeman, Will Smith, who just signed a great extension. I still put Max Muncy on this list because of the pop that he can bring to the lineup. And then in the rotation, when they are healthy, Glasnow and Buehler are definitely those guys at the top of that rotation. For Miami, it's Luis Arraez. He just is a constant hit machine and is so good at just like getting the ball in play, making the defense make a play, and helping advance things that I think because his like the skill that he has is so elite that I think you have to take it seriously. Lizardo as well, and then Alcantara. I wonder if the Marlins have another kind of a down year. I wonder how available some of those players end up being. In Milwaukee, I still have them with three. Yelich, Peralta, and Woodruff. Again, if it's a down year in Milwaukee, and we'll get to it in our NL preview in one of the other parts of this episode today, but I think it's going to be a down year in Milwaukee. I wonder if those guys become available. Woodruff dealing with some injury problems, though. For the New York Mets, I think they have four. One who was very recently acquired in J.D. Martinez, who just brings the thunder to the middle of that lineup. Francisco Lindor is a difference maker, and I say this because as he goes, the Mets go. When he is on, this Mets team is really dangerous. When he's not, they kind of just flutter away. And so I think at the peak of his powers, Lindor is a difference maker. Pete Alonso with that bat in the middle of the lineup is as well. And you saw how the bullpen crumbled without Edwin Diaz last year, so I'm putting him on this list. The Phillies have five. Schwarber in the middle of the lineup, again, he kind of only does one thing, but that one thing is a game changer when it comes to the home runs. Trey Turner can just do it all, and once he kind of broke out last year, it really showed what he can do. And Bryce Harper is a difference maker with the bat and in the clubhouse as well. And then they have two of the better starters in baseball in Wheeler and Nola. For the Pittsburgh Pirates, I actually have them at four. O'Neill Cruz, with what he can do at shortstop, big dude, can hit the absolute piss out of a baseball, and fields pretty good for a guy of his size. I still do think that Reynolds and Hayes are guys who can make differences, and Bednar at the back end of the bullpen is so underrated as a closer because of where he is pitched, but he also, I think, deserves to be on this list. The San Diego Padres, they have a few. Bogarts, Tatis, and Machado in the lineup. Those guys have to be like at the peak of what they're doing, difference maker wise, for the Padres to really make a charge at it this season. And all of them are capable of that. And then in the starting rotation, I don't think Darvish is that guy anymore. Joe Musgrove, I think 100% is, and Dylan Cease is as well. The San Francisco Giants have four, and they added three this offseason and two late in this offseason. The first one in the offseason was Soler. Again, like World Series MVP has that power that can change a game and make a difference in a lineup. Matt Chapman makes an infield defense go from good to great and can elevate pitchers around him. Speaking of which, Blake Snell is on this list. And Logan Webb, you have the top two Cy Young vote getters in the National League last year. Those guys both make this list. St. Louis has three with Goldschmidt, Arenado, and Gray. Probably the last year on this list, maybe for all of them, but we'll see how it goes. And ending with a flourish, the Washington Nationals have none. So those are your difference makers. Let's look at undervalued teams in baseball. Just looking at some of the win totals and seeing where, like, who are the most undervalued across the sport right now. Number one to me is Arizona. I'm recording this after Jordan Montgomery signs with the Diamondbacks. I think that gives them, like, one of the better pitching staffs in the National League. We went through it. The Braves have a big two. The Phillies have a big two. But now Arizona has a big two and Jordan Montgomery as the three. That makes you feel really good about this Arizona team. So I am stunned the total is as low as it is at 84.5 and also plus 120 to make the playoffs. I think that's, I'm not going to say a lock, but I think having both of those numbers probably makes them, honestly, the most undervalued team in baseball. I think Baltimore is being undervalued at 90.5 wins. They improved their pitching staff, although due to some injury issues, maybe not as much as they thought, but they are going to have more young kids coming. And I think given new ownership now in Baltimore, if this team is close to the deadline, I would imagine they are very aggressive. So I think 90.5 is really conservative. It's a lower win total than the Yankees right now. The Cubs are next at 84.5. I think based on that division, I get the schedule is more balanced, but you still play your division more than anything else. And I think the Cubs are going to feast on that. So I think at 84.5 wins, they are undervalued. And I think the Mets are undervalued. The pitching staff is a concern, but I don't think they are that far off from the team that came into the season a year ago. You still have Alonso and Lindor, and now they have JD Martinez in the middle of that lineup. I think this is absolutely a team that's at 500 or above. In terms of overvalued teams, I think it's going to fall off in Milwaukee really bad. So 77.5 wins, I think, is really overvalued for this team. Seattle at 87.5 wins, they made some interesting moves this offseason, but I do think they're a little bit worse than they were a year ago. And so to have them around 87.5 wins was really quite surprising to me. St. Louis, again, maybe some of the kids help out. Maybe some of the one-year contracts they signed for pitchers going out, getting Gray, getting Gibson does help this team out. I just don't think there's enough talent there in St. Louis. So I think they're overvalued at 84.5. And for Texas, I don't know who's pitching for this team this year. At 88.5 wins, I love the lineup, but I don't think that pitching staff is going to be able to get this team to be a 90-win team. And quickly for fantasy baseball, we haven't done a ton of fantasy, this go around. Undervalued and overvalued players. Overvalued players, I love Julio Rodriguez. I think, like, cornerstone of a franchise. Having him 2 overall in ADP does seem a little overvalued. Not a ton, but a little overvalued to me. Jose Ramirez is a top 15 player as well. Again, he is so incredibly talented, but from a fantasy standpoint, there's just not a lot around him to help out with things like runs batted in and stuff like that. Still very, 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 very good, but 14th overall seems a touch high for me. Yoshinobu Yamamoto at 35, maybe there's a little bit of bias in here because A, he got shit kicked out in Seoul, but B, I drafted him and he got shit kicked. So maybe I'm a little bitter of him at 35. And Cody Bellinger at 52nd overall. I think there's a lot of talented players behind him, and his consistency issues makes him a little bit overvalued in my eyes. Undervalued players, Corey Seager at 26 is wildly undervalued, I think. Same thing, Luis Robert at 31 in ADP. I think this is a guy who can fill up a stat sheet, and I think he's going to get out of that situation in Chicago. So I think having this guy on your roster is going to be a steal by the second half of the season. At 44th overall, Adley Rutschman, I think clearly the best catching option in the sport, and at a position that is kind of thin after that. I think having this guy in, what would that be, like the fifth round? I think that having that guy absolutely helps you out there. So, like, you could go third, fourth, fifth round with Seager, Robert, Rutschman, and then at 55th overall, Mike Trout. Injuries have definitely hampered him a little bit, a lot over the last little while. But when he is healthy, he is on, and still, I think, one of the most talented players in baseball. So I think having him down at 55 is undervaluing him. Okay, that is going to do it for part one of our baseball preview today. Coming up in part two, we will be looking at our National League preview. So going through every team, giving their win totals, and making some predictions on how the divisions are going to go. So thank you guys so much for tuning in. If you want some of my hockey thoughts over the last couple of days, I've been on Sportsnet 960 The Fan. Go check out Sportsnet today, wherever you get these podcasts, from Monday and Tuesday, hours 1 and 2 for both of those shows. Ton of hockey stuff on there. All right, part 2, talking about the National League. Audio only, coming at you next. Thank you guys so much. Talk to y'all later.